Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is, as we speak, in Orlando, Florida, where the Milwaukee Bucks will be playing Monday night. Should have a full complement of players available to them for the second time this year. We'll talk about this game in Charlotte, where the Big Three did not play and the Bucks won anyway, or the game against L.A., where the Bucks did have everybody available and they lost a really tight, well-contested game. Jim, I wonder if that's probably – I feel like the Lakers game – no offense to that game at Madison Square Garden where the Bucks pulled out a victory over the Knicks. I feel like the Lakers game is kind of where we have to start because, at least for me, that was the most entertained I've been watching a Bucks game all year. It was really hotly contested. And the Lakers are struggling, or, you know, record-wise. They were 8-12 coming into that game, but – you know, they've won once more since that game. And I tell you what, I watched that game and I'm like, if all three of their superstars are playing at superstar level, I don't know why we shouldn't think that that's a team that they could actually face in the NBA Finals down the road. Like, that was a really competitive game. The headliner, of course, is Chris Middleton coming back from injury and having everybody available. So this was, minus Joe Ingles, the first time you saw everybody on the floor, including Chris Middleton. Give me just your overall impressions of how the Bucks looked against the Lakers on Friday night at Pfizer Forum.
There's a couple storylines there, JR. Look, the Lakers are playing their best basketball of the year, and it has everything to do with Anthony Davis being healthy and looking like Anthony Davis. So I don't know what that means for L.A. in the long term. I think it's still a mismatched roster, which is obviously going to change for them. So, I think losing, it's like we said in the last PFP, JR, like losing to the Lakers means their stars did star things. And that's, talking to the LA media, like literally was the best game that their big three have played together ever. So, and they barely knocked off the Bucks. So I think the main story is, okay, how did Chris Middleton's back, right? And it was really interesting. I don't know if he was on a minutes limit. He played quite a bit in that game for someone who hadn't played in 226 days, JR. I mean, look, Chris Middleton, 26 minutes. Maybe he had a range of about 25. 6 of 11 from the field. 3 of 4 from three-point line. 2 of 2. 7 assists. 17 points. I mean, other than not hitting 20 points, JR, like, that was almost vintage Chris Middleton. No turnovers with, I couldn't imagine there being a better start. Maybe it was the adrenaline. Maybe it was who they were playing. I don't know. There were a couple moments you could tell, okay, there was like a left wrist, you know, he almost lost the hand on a dribble, dribbling the left hand. There was the big turnover late in the game that the Lakers pointed to where the ball kind of went, it was a poor pass, went kind of between his legs and loose ball, Russell gets it, whatever. Like Giannis said after the game, he's like, Chris Middleton returns and we scored 129 points. Like, that was the best the Bucks offense has looked for all season. I mean, as a team, shot about 40% from three, 29 team assists, shot 53% from the field. You know, the problem was, JR, that these were two top 10 defenses. Bucks were number one, Lakers number seven. And they just decided, screw it. We're going to fill it up. And it was a star turn. And it was a nationally broadcast game. The Bucks, that's nothing new for the Bucks and Lakers. But it felt like one of those let's put on a show type of games. Screw the defense. Mike Budenholzer wasn't happy about it. Giannis wasn't happy about it in that way. But conversely, JR, to have the big three back, Bobby Portis doing Bobby Portis things with another double-double, Javon Carter off the bench, Jordan Ward in play, for instance, it looked like the Bucks, and it was a loss, but I think in the grand scheme, it was a really, really good first step with the big three back.
Yeah, 133 to 129, Anthony Davis with 44 points, Giannis with 40 points, and the trend has continued with Giannis, and we will talk more about him later in our special segment of the week, but he's really been good since this Laddergate game. and obviously having Chris on the floor only makes things better and opens things up for him a little bit more. There's a sequence in that game. I'd be curious just your impression of it in Pfizer form, because on TV it felt electric, where Giannis spikes a block of LeBron James, just an absolute spike. And shortly thereafter, Brook Lopez gets a big-time block. It leads into a fast break. Giannis is trailing the play. He comes in and winds up soaring through the lane for a one-handed jam. Just tremendous stuff. And I don't know. It felt like Pfizer. I mean, that felt probably as close to playoff basketball as you're going to get in early December, you know, at Pfizer Forum. So that was pretty exciting to see. And, you know, it continues a trend of them just playing good basketball lately. You know, they did have to sort of gut out that win against the Knicks. They needed a big late three from Grayson Allen to make that happen. But for the most part, this team does feel like it's clicking and cruising right along. And, you know, when all three get back on the floor Monday night in Orlando, you expect the Bucks are going to win. And Orlando's not even that bad a team, but you expect that the Bucks are going to beat just about everybody right now. Give me a sense, though, of being in that moment at Pfizer Forum when you've got the Brook block going into that Giannis stuff on the other end. I mean, that had to be again, we talked about a big moment last week, but that had to be about as good as it gets at Pfizer Forum this year.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, especially because it was a Giannis turnover chase down on LeBron. And the problem was, JR, though, so, like, yes, that was definitely the apex of the Pfizer Forum Bucks game experience for this to date. They just haven't played a team like that, guys like that, you know. Now, in the moment, JR, I looked at the clock, and it was 6 minutes left. I was like, oh, this is probably a little too early for this. You know what I mean? Like, they were big moments, but clearly they weren't the moments. And I think Darvin Ham said it best after the game, where he was like, I've been on the other bench for those. And typically when the Bucks do stuff like that at home, then the other team wilts. The difference being most other teams don't have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And, you know, I think that's why the Lakers sustain that and were able to win the game. So, yeah, though, it was in terms of fun and, you know, enjoying what you're watching and who's doing it, for sure. I would say that's the top home sort of back-to-back kind of plays so far. But, again, in the moment, I'll never forget. I looked up at the clock, and it was like there's too much. I mean, it was big, but there's just too much time. And that, unfortunately for the Bucks in the win-loss column, that proved to be the case.
Going back a little bit, I brain fart. I confused Orlando with Indiana in my head. Orlando, in fact, does have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. Is absolutely not a good team. They've got some promising prospects for the future, but the Bucks, of course, should win this game on Monday night. The Magic are 5-19. So going into a back to back, they have this high energy game against the Lakers, and then they travel all the way out to Charlotte, and they don't have any of their big three. They sit all three guys. Brook Lopez isn't even guaranteed to play. He's kind of a game-time decision, ends up playing against the Hornets. And lo and behold, the Bucks wind up winning that game 105-96. Extremely tough scene for Charlotte to lose when Jordan Wara, who had not played against the Lakers, is, you know, 32 minutes and 17 points. And Portis had 20. And both, you know, Brook and Javon Carter get theirs. And I mean, it is always encouraging to know that the Bucks bench can do this sort of thing. And Charlotte is a lower tier team in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, when you subtract your three best players, you cannot expect that on a, I believe the term is Sega Baba, the abbreviation for second game of a back-to-back. You never expect to win those, even with your best players. And then to come out and do that, I really feel like that, I mean, obviously the Bucks didn't care if they won or lost that game. That was going to be a rest situation. They're not worried about it. But for them to come in and win and kind of control that game in the second half, that's so reassuring, you know, and you get that win back. Yes, you had a really tense battle with the Lakers that ultimately went the other guy's way, but then you just get a win that you probably shouldn't have had. You just get it back. And I don't know if you have any thoughts from that game. I realize this is not how the Milwaukee Bucks are going to operate when they're at peak, you know, peak capacity. It's not going to be these people getting the minutes and getting the plays, but that's just a really reassuring move for the Bucks, knowing that they can win these games and still rest their guys, and it still puts them on the same trajectory that toward one of the top four spots in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're 3-0 now, JR, in the second game of back-to-backs. I think Giannis played the first one because it was like the first week of the season. Drew Holiday played the second one in Oklahoma City. But, some of it's a little, back-to-backs are not great, but they've had some benefits that the second game has not been against the best teams. I'd look at it, JR, and say, look, okay, if you're the Bucks and you've got Grayson Allen and Brooke Lopez starting for you, you've got two of your five, and he's the betting favorite for Defensive Player of the Year coming, and then you've got Bobby Portis, who's going to slide into a starting role, who is in the six-man conversation, one of the few players averaging a double-double. And you've got Pat Connaughton. Like, that's $100 million worth of players, almost. Like, conversely, like, you should beat the Charlotte Hornets. You know what I mean? Or you should beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I think the Bucks, there's a part of, they're giving their guys a break. Maybe there's some sort of, well, if we take an L, that's what happens. Right? Am I wrong in thinking that, JR? Like they should be. They should win some of those games, depending who they play.
Yeah.
You've got those guys, right?
Yeah, I agree with that, for sure.
Yeah. So on one hand, I'm not surprised, but on the other, I think it illustrates, George Hill had some moments. He also had some turnovers. Jordan Wara catches a DNP, comes back, is very efficient offensively and defensively. Bobby Portis flirts with his first career triple-double with 7 assists out of the post. I mean, we're seeing a next level maybe to Bobby Portis's game developing here this season, which, I'm going to have to write about here sooner rather than later. So, big win. I know we're recording this yet again on another Monday where they're playing, but I think if you're going to drop games, like they did to the Lakers and not – look, the Lakers have a bad record. On paper, you'd be like, yeah, the Bucks should win at home against that team. But they didn't. So what do? They make up for it, and they get one on a back-to-back where maybe you sort of pencil in at the start of the season with an L. So, to be 1-1 in those two games, I think you would sort of take it and, get some kind of back on the winning track. It gets those bench guys feeling good about themselves.
Anything from that Knicks game, which I know I kind of glossed over because that was tense down the stretch. I thought the Knicks were actually going to win that game, and then you had Grayson Allen hitting a huge three-pointer. Giannis again had a massive 37-point performance there. Anything that you wanted to point out from that contest?
I think it's the Giannis falls out at the end, JR, and he did it on purpose. Basically, he's like, I couldn't give Mitchell Robinson an easy dunk. Mike Budenholzer reviewed it in the hopes, but Giannis, after the game, was like, no, I fouled him. And he's like, I knew what I was doing. And he's like, I couldn't give him that easy basket. And, that's what happened. He's like, I made, quote-unquote, that sacrifice. And then you just hope the rest of the team handles it. And what do? They draw up a play, where Drew Holiday initiates the offense. And Budenholzer says, well, it wasn't like, Budenholzer tried to, downplay it a little bit by saying it wasn't like for Brook and Grayson to do two-man game, but then Grayson comes on and says, yeah, they kind of knew we'd be open over there, and he made the shot. Now look, Grayson missed the shot against the Lakers. He had the same sort of look, but I think that shows that trust and confidence, and I know we've spoken at length ad nauseum maybe about Grayson Allen's future on this team, but they like the guy. He can make those shots. He's not afraid to take them, and if you're going to be 1-for-2 on game winners or game tires in a week, like, that's a pretty good percentage.
What do you make of the rest of the league right now? Boston is just winning everything. They're 19-5, two games ahead of the Bucks still. They've their last 10, they look really, really good. And you know, then you've got the Bucks. The Cavaliers are still kind of lingering there, but the Hawks are next, and then now Trae Young and head coach are fighting. 76ers remain an enigma to me. They're middling around 500. The Pacers have been better than expected. The Nets, I guess, still kind of worry me. The Heat have dipped below 500. I don't know who the teams are that Milwaukee needs to concern themselves with in the Eastern Conference anymore. And is it just a two-horse race now with the Celtics and the Bucks? Or, like, how do you look at the Eastern Conference? How do you look at the Eastern Conference right now? I realize it's still very much up in the air and everything, but you know, still very early. But what is your impression of the whole thing?
I mean, Boston and the Bucks are the class of the conference. I mean, I think that's what it was. Start the year, you know, I picked the Bucks in our USA Today, like, beat writers poll or whatever. I picked the Bucks to win the East, and I don't think I had to pick the conference finalists, but if I did, I'm sure I picked Boston, because you have to give them their due. They beat the Bucks last year. Like, they went to the finals. You can't just you know, ignore that. And clearly they handled the coaching situation the right way for the team. Let's push aside all the other stuff. But for the team, handling it before training camp, JR, clearly was the right move for this team, because then Joe Mazzulla runs that stuff from literally day one of basketball, right? I think people initially thought, oh, how can this not affect them? Well, clearly it hasn't. Boston is playing offensive basketball at a historic rate. Some people may argue it's unsustainable. I'd argue it's a quarter of the way through the season, and Jason Tatum is going to get MVP votes, if not win the thing. So when you've got that combination going on, we'll see. You know, regular season games, to me, the Bucks could go to 0-3 against Boston. They could lose on Christmas Day at the Garden. And the Celtics can hit 33s, because they're like Golden State East right now. I'm not going to take much from the individual efforts, JR. We'll talk about them in a moment. I think it's a great look ahead, though, for what the Bucks are trying to do this year with their three-point defense, and the fact that the Celtics lean even harder into that sort of style than they were even a year ago. When Grant Williams was like, all right, I'm going to shoot 33s. Like, it's not just Grant Williams now, right? So you mentioned the Hawks. We'll find out. Like, you know, Nate McMillan told Trae Young to stay home, and he did. Generally speaking, coaches lose that. So we'll see if Nate McMillan's still coaching this team in the playoffs, or if this is sort of a Celtics-ish turning point. Like, remember, the Celtics were this sort of team at the start of last year, JR, right? When Ime Udoka challenged Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to, like, stop being selfish. And then that turned their season around. So we'll see what happens in Atlanta. There's still a weird matchup for the Bucks. You know, they happen to defend Giannis really, really well. But, yeah, to me, JR, like, if we're talking about the finals, it's Boston. Atlanta's still a funky matchup. I think the rest of the East is good. The Bucks are going to lose games. But I don't think down the line, all teams being healthy, you know, the 76ers don't have anything for the Bucks. We know this, you know. The Bulls don't. The Heat, I don't know what they are right now. Yeah, they're going to give the Bucks a little bit of a fit just because it's the Heat, right, if those guys are healthy. But nah, it's a two-horse race, and it's just a matter of being healthy and okay, and how pesky are the Hawks, if that's the Bucks bracket.
Bucks again in Orlando to face the Magic on Monday night. They've got the Kings on Wednesday at Pfizer Forum. An interesting Sacramento Kings team that's playing pretty well. And then they go to Dallas to face an underachieving thus far Mavericks team on Friday, followed by a trip to Houston to face the Rockets. They are one of the lower teams, worst teams in the Western Conference at this point. And then the Warriors next week Tuesday at Pfizer Forum. Steph Curry and friends will be back. That is going to be a game that I think a lot of fans have circled. All right, Jim, let's move into the final segment. It's a short one today, so we'll take a look again at the MVP race. Let's get into it. The MVP chase.
You was last season's most valuable player, or as it's called, the MP3. What was that like? No, I was the MVP.
MP free.
Not the no, I wasn't.
You was the MP free.
No, I wasn't.
Now, there's a reason I'm doing this. You mentioned Jason Tatum, which I think is obviously an element we'll need to discuss, but Anthony Davis had that huge game and has been on a roll, and a lot of comparisons between Anthony Davis and Giannis. A lot of comparisons that Bucks fans did not take kindly to. They're like, well, is Anthony Davis better than Giannis? Bucks fans being like, please. We have so much more data to support that our guy is better than Anthony Davis, but Davis's numbers right now match up really well with Giannis's, I guess, just like points per game, things like that. But if you look at the Basketball Reference MVP tracker, Anthony Davis is in the mix, but he's still in the bottom half of the top 10. Giannis at fourth right now because Tatum, as we mentioned, is three. Luka Doncic, who we've talked about before, is at number two. And familiar face Nikola Jokic back at the top here, given a 23.9% probability. Obviously, we don't take much stock in those. They will wobble as the year goes on. Giannis was way ahead through the first, the first whatever 10 games of the season, and now he's fourth. But that's interesting because he has played pretty dominantly. Giannis has. So I don't know. I don't know where we stand here on the MP. I keep saying the MP3 chase because of the audio cue that I have going into this with Ali G, MP3 of the league. But I don't know, a three-peat for Nikola Jokic, is that really? I mean, Denver's 14-9, they're good, but I don't know, I feel like if they're, that would surprise me. That has not been on my radar necessarily, more so than Doncic, Tatum, or now even Anthony Davis. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic is in that tough spot where it's just like Giannis in the championship season, like to get to three in a row above the guys you just mentioned, who are far and away also on better teams, in a case like Tatum or Doncic haven't won one yet, Jokic is going to run into the, you have to be so much better statistically, and your team's going to have to get to a point record-wise that it overwhelms the quote-unquote voter fatigue that invariably is going to happen for Jokic. Like, it'd be different, and we talk about this with Giannis trying to win his third before the title. Postseason stuff, fairly and unfairly, does factor in. But you can't say Jokic is having a better year than Jason Tatum right now. You can't say he's having a better year than Giannis or Luka Doncic. So Jokic has got an uphill climb. Jason Tatum is Giannis's roadblock right now, because he's in Boston. He's a Celtic. I mentioned the Joe Mazzulla thing being done the right way. Well, people are still going to factor in, well, look at all the turmoil the Celtics were in preseason. And really, they weren't, but no one's going to remember it that way. And again, he's a Boston Celtic. The national, like if the Celtics win 62 games or 60 games and they beat the Bucks 2 out of 3, the quote unquote head to head, if right now, this is Jason Tatum's to lose, in my view. 30 points a game, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, he's giving you the 40 point games, he's giving you the kind of the highlights. I just feel that when you're that guy, the 20, you know, I know Luka's having a triple-double-ish type season, but the Mavs are just, again, Doncic is in the Jokic thing last year. Like, can a 8-seeded, 6-seeded guy win the MVP? Nikola Jokic proved it. But Jason Tatum wasn't in this conversation last year, JR. Like, to me, it's, this is I don't care what the MVP ladder says. I don't care whatever. Like, even Devin Booker, no. I think this is a Tatum-Giannis conversation right now. And, oh, my God, if Giannis could have made any free throws, JR. Like, he made 58% of his free throws the first 12 games of the season. That's terrible. Like, he'd be averaging 35 a game if he made 70% of his free throws. So now we'll see what happens as the year goes on with this. He's back to getting hit with 10 seconds and where teams are going to start counting. Like, he switched back to that routine. But yeah, I think it's Tatum to lose because of the momentum of it's a new guy. It's Boston. Boston's the best team in the East by record. Maybe they give it to the Bucks. He's ascending. That whole, I just gave you the narrative. Bucks fans hate me, but that's going to be the national narrative going on. And that's a lot for a guy trying to win his third MVP in this day and age, be it Jokic, be it Giannis, be it Steph. You know, it's going to be really, really hard to topple that momentum if Tatum and the Celtics keep doing what they're doing.
He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. He will be in Orlando covering Monday night's game and throughout the year, watching your Milwaukee Bucks as they continue to keep the pressure on Boston for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. Thanks for listening, everybody. Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Again, jsonline.com for the Bucks newsletter and anything else Bucks related. Jim, we will talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good, Jim.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast. A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.